The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that the Old Testament scriptures were profitable for many different things. Paul also told Timothy, and as a result told us, because it's recorded for us in the New Testament, that the man of God may receive instructions in righteousness. Now, not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us want to receive instruction in righteousness? Because we want to live a godly way of life that comes about as a result of being instructed in how to live God's way, i.e. instructions in righteousness. And of course, all of our hands would go up because we all want that. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Most of you know this verse. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture, meaning every scripture, is given by inspiration of God or is God-breathed and is profitable. So there's profit to all of the scriptures. And I want to pause right here and make a statement. The scriptures that Paul is referring to Timothy, is what we refer to as the Old Testament. He is saying all of these scriptures that we have, what are the scriptures that we, Paul and Timothy, have? The Old Testament. All of these scriptures are profitable. They're profitable for doctrine or for teaching. They're profitable for reproof. They're profitable for correction. And they're profitable for instruction in righteousness. In other words, how to live a godly way of life. And then in verse 17 it says, and I'm adding in the word so, or therefore, so that the man of God. Now, that be us. The man of God, you know, use men. I know many of us here are, not me, but many in this room and others that are on the phone and the internet are women. I understand that, but it's talking to all of us. So that the man of God may be perfect. So is he telling us that from the scriptures in the Old Testament that we can be brought to perfection? And the answer is, yeah, that's what he's implying. That's what he's stating. And he says, and it's from the Holy Scriptures, from these scriptures, Old Testament, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, having stated this and having focused on this statement or these statements here from these two verses, I want us to understand, brethren, this is especially true when it comes to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, in fact, many of the Psalms are what are called didactic Psalms. I'll spell that word for you as D-I-D-A-C-T-I-C, didactic Psalms. And that is, they are designed to teach and to instruct. They are designed in that way. Now, we understand, it already told us in here in our verse here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, every scripture was God-breathed. In other words, God was behind it. God is responsible for it. God gave it to holy men to write it down as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're told in Peter. But what we're seeing here is that many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, 150 of them, many of them are written by design to teach and to instruct. This word didactic, that's a word that is used in reference sources, is where I'm getting the word. The word can be simply defined as the art or science of teaching. No, they were written, they are designed. Yeah, David and other men wrote them down. But God is responsible for it. And so if we go back to our original verse that we're looking at, in verse 16, it says, every scripture is given by God for the purpose of. In other words, it is profitable for. And one of them is profitable for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished, will be led to perfection. The Psalms are appropriate for instructing us today in principles of righteousness and in principles of godly living. So our focus in the sermon today is going to be on Psalms. However, before we actually turn to the book of Psalms and see some illustrations and examples and try and see how this applies to us, and we're planning to do that a little bit later, first, I want to show some examples of the use of teaching or didactic Psalms in the New Testament. In other words, the New Testament writers, many of them, they brought them forward. They brought some of these teachings forward for the purpose to instruct us in righteousness. This is their purpose, because it's the teaching purposes. So I want to start by asking you, brethren, did you know that Jesus based many of his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount using didactic Psalms? And probably most of it, after say, I might not have even heard of this word didactic today, so probably I've never heard it or probably never thought a lot about it. But he did. And so we want to see that. Let me see it, show you a few illustrations of what I'm talking about. First of all, we're going to compare his statements about the meek that he states in Matthew 5 and verse 5 with Psalm 37 and verse 11. So let's start by going to Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, just for whatever it's worth, it doesn't mean anything other than by itself, and I know that, but this was the very first verse in the Bible that I personally ever learned. I had a close relative who was dying and had said, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Maybe I'd be considered as maybe a smart aleck little boy. But I said, if you're worried about dying and going to heaven, and that's the reward, why don't you accept death and do it? Because my dad had already taught me that when we die, we don't go to heaven in the sense that the Protestant church is taught. And so I learned this by, and I said, because I remember telling my dad, and I said, oh, that sounds real great, but can you show me this in the Bible? I'm telling you, this is what I did. And I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And so he opened up the Bible and he said, this is called the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what it says, and these are the words of Jesus. Either he knows what he's talking about or he doesn't, and it says the meek are going to inherit the earth. That's the good guys. So why is everybody thinking they're going to go to heaven when Jesus is obviously coming to the earth, because this is what we're going to inherit? And from that point on, I was hooked. I'm telling you, I was hooked on the Bible because of this verse. That may sound strange to some of you, but that's what really hooked me. And so started really studying, really reading, and you know a lot of the story. Okay, with that in mind, not my story, but with these two things, comparing them, let's go to Psalm 37. You may want to leave a marker in Matthew 5, because we're going to come back, because we're going to make another comparison here in just a moment. Go to Psalm 37, verse 11. Psalm 37 and verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. My dad also showed me that verse. And when you tie the two together, the old and the new together, and Jesus is one who's teaching it, you can't walk away from this and say, nope, when we die, we're going to heaven. No, when we die, the meek are going to inherit the earth. When Jesus comes back, you know the whole plan of salvation. No, at 7 or 8, I didn't know the plan of salvation. But now that we do, we look back on these verses, and it makes a lot more sense of what Jesus is actually stating here. Okay, I want to show you another example. And see, Jesus' statement concerning the pure in heart. Again, this is back in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 8. And we're going to compare this with a psalm, and I'll tell you that in just a moment. So go back to Matthew 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, we want to compare that to Psalm 24. And we're going to start reading in verse 3. Psalm 24, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. This is what Jesus is focusing this on. The blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, a lot of the teachings that we understand and have in the New Testament, using these didactic teachings from the Old Testament, primarily from the book of Psalms, they're not direct quotes. Many of them are paraphrases, but it's the principles that we are actually looking at. Then Jesus, in a later teaching, he also used a didactic psalm over here in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. So let's go there. Matthew 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Okay, let's go back to the book of Psalm 62, Psalm 62 and verse 12. Psalm 62 and verse 12. Are we going to continue this through the whole sermon? No, not so much. We are going to do a couple more of these illustrations like this to get the point. Okay, but now go to Psalm 62 and verse 12. Also unto you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to every man according to his work. So that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. And so he used the wording that had been God-inspired or God-breathed in the Old Testament, in particular referring to the book of Psalms. And Jesus then takes those and is using it in teaching us, the New Testament church today, about these very principles about instruction and righteousness, so that we can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Also, many of the New Testament writers frequently use didactic psalms in their writings when they were exhortations to the people of the Church of God. I want to show you a few examples of that. The first one is we're going to see from the writings of the Apostle Paul. In Hebrews chapter 13, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, and here he is making an appeal, as it were, to what is written in Psalm 118. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 first. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation or let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, let's go to Psalm 118 and verse 6. Psalm 118 and verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear what man can do unto me. So we see Jesus used the Old Testament book of Psalm, some of these didactic teachings, to bring them into his teachings that he's giving to the church. Now, it wasn't the church at that time, but it became the church. Now we're also seeing that some of the other New Testament writers also did. Paul, example we just saw. James also, in James 4, does the same thing, kind of somewhat quoting or paraphrasing from Psalm 138, and we'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to James 4, James 4, and verse 6. James 4, and verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Now, I just want to read the next verse, because what it's based upon here, connected to in verse 6. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Now, I'm not actually quoting that from the Old Testament. James didn't, but let's go to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm 138, Psalm 138 and verse 6. 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. So James is telling us, doing the same thing that Paul is using, the same thing that Jesus had done, using these teaching, these didactic psalms to bring them forward to teach the church. Peter also did the same thing. So let's go to 1 Peter 3, and I'll tell you the verse and psalm in just a moment. But let's go to 1 Peter 3, and we're going to actually read several verses. We're going to read 8 through 12, because it's the whole gist of it that he quotes, or not so much quotes, but somewhat paraphrases or uses or references out of Psalm 34. But let's go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rending evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they may speak no guile. Let him eschew or hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay, now let's go to Psalm 34, and we begin reading in verse 12. And we're going to see where Peter got this information. And my point is not even by itself so much what he is stating. It is about what he is stating, but it's the point of that he is using, like all these other men have done, psalms that are written to teach and instruct, didactic psalms to bring them forward to instruct the New Testament Church of God. So let's go to Psalm 34 and verse 12. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Do you already see where he's getting it, right? Verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Okay, now there are others. There are many other examples out of Paul's writings. James also makes some others. Some of the other apostles do. Peter does. But I want to move on here, and I want to make a couple of points at this point. Many of the Psalms have basic principles of righteousness that are still true today. They were true in the time when they were written in the Old Testament. They're true during the time of the life of Jesus Christ and the early church. And some of these things, the principles are still there. Principles are appropriate for today. Therefore, it is appropriate for us as believers to study the book of Psalms to receive instruction in righteousness. I mean, I didn't ask for a show of hands, but way back at the beginning, I talked about it. Don't we want instructions in righteousness? Because that's where we're going to get the information to know how to live the godly way of life. And I'm not saying the book of Psalms is the only place to do it. What I'm saying is it is a cluster, a plethora of different teachings out of this one book that are written in a way by design as instructions in righteousness. And so it certainly is appropriate for us today. Having said that, Yet at the very same time, there are some principles that we find in the book of Psalms that may no longer be suitable for us as believers. For example, when the writers call upon God to destroy the wicked and their enemies, including their children, they probably are not so appropriate for us as believers today. Having said that, in other words, I don't want to pray and ask God to destroy any enemy that comes against me that's another physical human being, because the examples that these Old Testament writers were using were physical human beings. I would have a major problem in doing that today. Now, just stepping back, it's not part of the sermon, but I want to state it because I understand this. Many of these psalms are also prophetic. They are prophetic in nature for the demons and Satan. Now, I'm not going there. I'm just making that statement. That's not part of this sermon. And so I understand, but I'm just like they ask God to destroy the enemy, including their children. David, in particular, when he was writing some of these psalms, he's talking about physical human beings. We don't do that. Especially, we don't do that. Well, at least I can't see where we would be justified in doing so if we're trying to follow Jesus' teachings. Teachings like over in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. That's Sermon on the Mount again. But let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 43. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Remember, it already says, the meek shall inherit the earth, the pure in heart, they're going to see God. We've already established that's positive. We want that. So let's drop down a little bit further. Matthew 5 and 43. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's Old Testament teaching, some of these things I'm talking about. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I want to interject here. I said I'm not really focusing on Satan and his demons. That is not describing them. We're not told to be praying for that enemy. We're talking about other human beings. The very principle that I'm talking about in some of these didactic teachings of the book of Psalms, where they would ask God to remove their enemies, including their children, take them and dash them up against the rocks and all of those things. We don't pray that today based upon what Jesus says. He said, you've heard it said, but I'm telling you, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And the answer is, yeah, they do. And if you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And the answer is, yes, they do the same thing. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, you can also put in your notes, if you're doing this, taking notes, you can also put in Luke 6, 27 through 36. Luke 6, verse 27 through 36. Now, just going back to the very first verses that we read, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed by God, so that the man of God may be perfect. And one of those Old Testament principles from the Old Testament was that it was also giving us instruction in righteousness. And so here we're seeing in the word of Jesus Christ. And he says this thing about, you've heard it said, you can do all of this to your enemy, but I'm telling you it's not what we're doing. But be you therefore perfect. instructions in righteousness and doctrines and reproof and all in corrections, all of these things lead us, we've already saw that, leads us to perfection. And so he is saying there are some principles there that are taught out of those Old Testament scriptures that do not necessarily apply on the same basis today. That's why people a lot of times are asking, well, how do you apply this? And they go, you don't. It's not talking about the same. Jesus took some of that away, but it doesn't do away with all of it. And that's what we have to understand, and that's what we have to see. So, okay, this time, I'd like for us to look at a few of the Psalms that could be used to instruct us in principles of righteousness. Now, there are many of them don't have the time to go through and go through every one of them. I'm just going to do a very limited number of the Psalms. I picked out a few of the Psalms. We're going to look at some of the verses. I want to start by going to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 was written by David after he was forgiven of his sins surrounding the affair with Bathsheba. Bible calls it the matter of Uriah the Hittite. God doesn't focus so much on the illicit affair with this woman as he did, as what David did to Uriah the Hittite. And I'm not getting into that principle, but this is after he has been forgiven. It's an instruction in righteousness. That's my point. So let's go to Psalm 32, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that's washed away. Verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Think about it. Take note. Now, these are instructions in righteousness, and I'm going to make the point in just a moment. We're going to read a few more verses. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Brethren, what we need to please notice here is that through this psalm, we are instructed in the importance of confessing our sins and the absolute blessedness that we experience when God forgives our sins. I don't know about you, but praying some of the psalms sometimes in similar situations is a very good thing to do. They're already there. They're instructions in righteousness. We want to have that attitude. We want to have this, the end result in our lives as well. Maybe the situation on a human level is not as dire or as severe as committing adultery with another man's wife and then having her husband put to death. And then there's a child born through this illicit affair, and then a child dies. You know, maybe that's not going to happen to us. I pray that it never happens to any of us. But any sins, we can use this and go to God in this way and let him know that we confess our sins before you. We're not trying to hide anything. Yeah, we did it. We did it wrong. We're sorry. Please forgive us. And he does. He removes it. He removes us. This is an excellent example and illustration. There are others. This is just one. This is just one. Okay. This, when we do that, leads us toward righteousness. It's an example of instructions in righteousness. Okay, the next psalm is going to be Psalm 52. Psalm 52. This psalm was also written by David when he had been betrayed to Saul by this Edomite by the name of Doeg, D-O-E-G. Now, that the story of that is actually found over in 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're not going there, but if you're not familiar, it's an interesting account whenever you see this psalm because it's written in response to it. It's written by David, but it's God-breathed as one of those instructions in righteousness for us when things happen to us. So let's go to Psalm 52 and begin reading in verse 1. Why boast you yourself in mischief, O mighty man? Now, I'm going to tell you right up front. He's talking about this physical human being, but it is also a type of Satan the devil. So we can see both in it, but my focus is not on Satan the devil here. It's on other human beings who do things to us, just like what they, not exactly, but the illustration of what this man did to David. Have others, anybody ever mistreated us? Yeah. Well, here's an illustration of here's an illustration of instruction in righteousness that leads us to perfection. Remember, this is the whole purpose. Okay, verse 2. The tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. You love all devouring words, O you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and root you out of the land of the living. Selah. Let's go on. Verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Verse 9, I will praise you forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good before your saints. This psalm teaches us, this psalm instructs us in righteousness in the uselessness, in the futility of being boastful in wickedness. Because this is what this man did. He went to Saul and he ratted out David. I'm just putting it real simply stated. But he, and then David then is telling about it and he's teaching us what is an appropriate response in this way. And he tells us in those words, I will praise you. He's talking about God. Because God, I know what you're going to do to a person like this. You're going to remove him forever. With this type of attitude, will he be removed forever? Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. He doesn't have to ask for it. He just knows that it's going to happen. Unrepentant, this man is not going to live in the kingdom of God. Now, we hope that he will come to a place of repentance. Now, whether he does or not, we don't know. But if you've ever been, I use the term, ratted out by someone else, whether you did something wrong or not, or they lied or whatever, he says they lied. He said, you love lying more than righteousness. So it is to instruct us in the futility, the uselessness of being boastful in wickedness, and it is to instruct us also in the peace of those who choose to live godly lives. God blesses them. God hears them. God answers them, and he takes care of them. Sometimes we think things are so bad that that there's no way out of this. Yeah, there is. And we have, and God has recorded for us different words that are in his book preserved that we can go to and we can see examples. And as a result, it changes our heart. It changes our heart. It looks to God and he's like, I know this man did all these horrible things. I know this woman did these horrible things. But I praise you. I bless you because I know you're the deliverer. You're doing these things. And this is instructions in righteousness. Okay, I want to look at one more, and it's Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is another psalm of David. This also is the psalm that Jesus used to base his Beatitudes on. Blessed are the meek, for they shall. And those things. This is the psalm that he primarily uses, that he bases upon in speaking these words. When Jesus is walking around on the earth, he's speaking these words out of Psalm 37, and he's putting them in his own words. But he's doing the principles that are right there. These are instructions in righteousness, and they're based out of the book of Psalms. Verse 1, and there's 40 verses here, so if you're writing notes, put Psalm 37, verse 1 through 40. We're not reading all 40. We're going to read a lot of them. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be you envious against the workers of iniquity. See, that's a positive instruction that we're not to be doing that. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Drop down to verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Know where we got this. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Go to verse 16. We can read them all. They're all good, but I'm just picking and choosing. Verse 16. Verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. He's talking about the righteous. Okay, go over verse 21. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Do you see all of these instructions in righteousness, how to live a godly way of life toward other people? You could focus on any one of these. And I'm telling you guys, any of these, you could pick out almost any one verse out of this Psalm 37 and blow it up bigger and give an entire sermonette upon just one of these verses. The principles are so huge. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 22. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Verse 26. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. 32. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. The Lord is not going to leave the righteous person in the hand of the wicked who would want to slay him, is what he's saying. Nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and you shall see it. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, all these verses that we talked about already, that we've already looked at, they come together in this one verse. You know, so we've seen this principle we're seeing over and over. Verse 38, but the transgressor shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He, the Lord, is their strength in the time of trouble. For the Lord shall help him and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This psalm is instructing us about the safety and the security to those who humbly trust God. It also is contrasted with the insecurity of the wicked. Brother, I think that we would all agree that there is a great amount of information that we can find in the book of Psalms containing principles how to live a godly and a righteous way of life, meaning instructions in righteousness. And it is a book for all ages. And I'm not talking about times, I'm talking about ages, like the young all the way to the old. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, a few illustrations. The book of Psalms presents instructions in righteousness for the family about children. This is just a very simple principle, but it's right out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like an arrow in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of the youth. Or meaning of the youth. Meaning when you are young. Having children when you're young. That's what he's referring. That's what that actually is meaning. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, them being children. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate, because they're not going to be fearful. Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. It also gives instructions in righteousness for the young person who is trying to remain pure before God. We live in an evil society when everything is against the young person, male and female, to remain pure. But let's see what God says about it. Instructions in righteousness out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 119. 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. O, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. You hide the word of God. You live by that. Somebody says, hey, let's go do such and such, and it's contrary to God. You go, no. No, 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 no. It also gives wisdom and instructions and righteousness for those who are waiting and wanting to grow old gracefully. Psalm 71, Psalm 71, verse 17. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. I think that it should be clear, brother, to all of us that there is something in this book for all of us, young to old. The principles and righteousness are there. This book is filled with it. Again, I'm not saying it's the only place to go. I'm saying, but here is a collection, 150 Psalms. All of them are not instructions in righteousness. All of them are not considered as didactic Psalms. I understand that. I'm not implying that. The book doesn't imply that. But there are lessons from this book on how to live a righteous way of life. Therefore, what I have been trying to do in this sermon, in this teaching, is that I am trying to encourage all of us to study the book of Psalms. I am trying to encourage all of us to get into this book, to meditate upon the Psalms. And when we do that, they will help lead us down the paths of righteousness as we're putting forth our human effort, God's Holy Spirit in us, to serve the great and awesome God that we serve. The book of Psalms. It is instructions in righteousness. The Aaronic blessing. Oh, before I do that, I want to make one other comment. Show this. Okay. I have a handout that if any of you would like it, just ask me about it, and I can make it available for you. And those of you on the phone and the internet, if you would like a copy of it, let me know. You can call me. Our phone number is on the website, or you can send me an email, benfaulkner@cotsg.org, and request it, and we'll email it to you. So, the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Happy Sabbath, brethren, and God bless each one of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111. Tampa, Florida, 33689.